Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 37 this morning, we're going to read one verse again, verse 23 this morning. That's Psalm 37 and verse 23. As our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud the first time through, you'll read silently, and then we'll read the second time through in unison. So please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now let's read together, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for these series on Sunday morning that pastor's been preaching and the help they've been. God, please continue to work in our hearts and lives. We're needy people. We need to hear from heaven today to help us that we'll be able to serve you and love you better, be effective in our community and for our country. God, please work in our midst today. Anoint our pastor with your Holy Spirit power for this task. And then, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that does not know for sure they're going to heaven, please, I pray they would settle it before they leave this room this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, we'll ask that you check your cell phone, please, and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Check that right now real quickly and make sure you're okay there, would you, please? We'd hate to have it go off in the service, because if you do, everyone will stand up and laugh at you. No one wants to be embarrassed in public, so let's be careful, please. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I need you to hold your Bibles open this morning. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about what are those steps. They are trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord, rest in the Lord. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 7 of this same passage in Psalms. What does it mean when God orders our steps? It means He directs us via His Word. Psalm 119, verse 133, the Bible says, "Order thou my steps in thy Word." It's very simple. You follow the Bible, God directs your steps. The important thing is this. It says, "And He delighteth in His way," which means two things. Number one, it means God, you will delight in the way God's given you. It means you'll enjoy it. You'll find pleasure in life. I don't mean you'll be happy all the time. I mean you'll find pleasure. You'll find a life with pleasure and purpose to it. Do not misunderstand me. I'm not talking about one of these foolish kind of concepts that tells people, well, you do this and you'll be happy and laughing all the time. No, that means you're on medication. What it means is you'll find some enjoyment and life that means something. And more than just something, you'll delight in that way. But also it means God delights in the way that you take. I hope that weighs with us. I hope that it means something to you, that God is pleased with the life that you live. Because if God's pleased, I assure you, you have His ear better than if He's not pleased. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now those steps, there are five of them, as we mentioned. It starts with trust in the Lord. Please remember this. You have to start where God tells you to start. You start with trusting in Him. Then the next step is you delight yourself in the Lord. That means you're malleable, you're soft in the Master's hands. It simply means you're yielded to Him. Then the next step is you commit your way unto the Lord. That means it's like a person standing on top of a hill and pushing a rock off, and it rolls as it goes. You start it, God takes it from there. Committing your way unto the Lord. Then last week we talked about resting in the Lord. To rest in the Lord means stand still and be quiet. Remember, it's not wrong to ask why. It's just wrong to keep asking after you either don't get the answer or you don't get the answer you want. And at some point in your faith, you need to stand still and be quiet. That way God can work. God can do what God does. And it shows your faith. And the last step is all the way down to verse 34. You see it there? And it says to wait on the Lord. You ever wonder why it's so far down in the passage? I mean, the first steps are right together. Boom, boom, boom. This last one, He gets all the way to verse 34 and then says, well, look at it, please. Psalm 37 and verse 34, he says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait on the Lord. You know why he waited so long to get to this one? Because he wanted you to understand, now it's your time to wait. Is there anything more difficult God asks us to do than to wait on him? I think there's something that's pretty equal to it. Forgive like God forgives. That's a tough one. To think the way God thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's difficult. But to wait on the Lord. The word wait in the Bible means, it's the idea of taking cords of twine or something together, twisting them together and making a rope. You know, you take all these different cords together and you begin to intertwine them, thinking that when I'm done, I'm going to have a rope, but it takes time to do all that. So while you're intertwining these cords together, you're thinking, I'm waiting on this thing to get finished so I'll have a rope when I'm done. To wait on the Lord, I don't think it requires a great theological discussion. It means you wait on him. You're waiting on his timing. You're waiting on God's program. You're waiting on God's way of things. To wait on the Lord, it means, ladies and gentlemen, that we simply trust him enough to say, well, Pastor, that's a tough one. Yeah, but that's not where we started. We started down here with trusting in him. Remember, these steps aren't to be taken in order. You start with trust, then you go to delight, then you commit to him, then you rest in the Lord, and then you wait on him. Thankfully, he didn't ask us to start with waiting on the Lord. It started with trusting. And if you trusted him, my friend, you found him faithful to you. And if you delighted in him, you yielded to him. And what did he do? He gave you new desires so you could begin to have the heart that God wants you to have. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he'll bring it to pass. You rest in the Lord. What happens then? You found that there are times when if you just stood still and you were quiet enough, God could speak to your heart. If you stood still and you were quiet enough, he may not have given you all the answers you wanted, but he gave you peace instead of worry. And you learn to rest in him. Then what's next? Then it's wait on the Lord. Oh, remember something. Every step that you take here, taking the previous step helps you to take the next one, except for trusting in the Lord. That's pretty basic. But by this one, this step here, wait on the Lord. This step has been made after many steps you've let God order your path for. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can we bind some things together while we wait on God to bring about the things? What are you waiting on him for this morning? Are you waiting on God for answered prayer? Are you waiting on God to help you? Are you waiting on God to do something in a person's life for whom you've been praying? Are you waiting on God to honor his word? Because he will honor his word. God honors his word. Psalm 138, verse 2, it says he has magnified his word above his own name. So I assure you, you do what the Bible says, God comes through, but not always on our time frame. Are you waiting on the Lord for something today, Christian? Are you? Then you know what you need to find? You need to find yourself with expectation. Because to wait on the Lord means to have expectation, like you're binding the cords together for a rope. You expect to have a rope when you're finished. Anticipation. You know that the labor that you're doing now is going to produce something you want later on, so you can wait on that. That's okay. We've got an impulsive society today. We have a society today that wants everything now. We want it in this moment, this minute, this instant. We call it microwave Christianity. You push a turkey in there, you put it on 2 minutes, boom, you got a cooked turkey. I know it's not like that, but you understand what I mean. How do we ever live without microwave ovens? How do we ever get this far? Remember when they first came out and they thought that they would do something awful to you because of the raves that would get loose and all that kind of junk? They quit talking about that. I wonder whatever happened to that warning anyway. Remember, how do we ever live without microwave ovens? That just nukes everything in a couple of seconds and you've got hot water and you've got stuff and everything else. Unfortunately, our lives have become microwave Christianity. We expect everything on our time frame, the way we said, when we want, exactly like we said it. Remember this, God is never late, but he's rarely ever early. Isn't that what Solomon in Ecclesiastes said? To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Don't you wish young people, some of these young people, had your wisdom? Don't you wish they'd ask you for your wisdom? Of course, you weren't that dumb when you were their age. We watch people today making rash, impulsive decisions with their lives because they're not willing to wait for a proper time and a proper place and a proper way for things to come about. Christian, you listen to me. You have to learn to wait on God. See, how do you do that, Pastor? You know the good news is the answer is in that same verse. Look at verse 34 again. Wait on the Lord, it says, and keep His way. That's how you wait on God. You keep His way. To keep in the Bible means to guard or protect it. In the old days, when they had property that they wanted protected, they would build either stone walls or sometimes they'd grow thorn hedges that grew around their property that kept everything in that they wanted in and out that they didn't want in. And it means to hedge about something, to put a wall of protection around things. It means to guard and to protect. So what God is saying this, while you're standing here and being quiet, and then you decide, I'm going to just wait a little bit longer too, and as long as it takes, I need to make sure I'm going to keep His way. That means guard and protect God's way. Number one, it means guard and protect His way. You know why we have a hard time waiting? Because we think God's made a mistake somehow. He didn't do this in my time the way I said. You ever set a deadline with God? And tell God it's got to be like this, just it's got to happen right now. Or you tell the Lord, look, it's April the 15th. God forbid I should bring that day up. April the 15th, it's got to be before April the 15th or I'm dead in the water. It just has to be that way, Lord. You understand. Here's the thing. Here's the situation. Here's what I'm facing in my life. And Lord, it has to be on this time frame right here. And God in heaven sometimes doesn't follow our time frames. But wait a minute. If I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm going to keep His way, it means while I'm waiting, I have to guard and protect the fact that God's way is always right. Is God always right? Okay, now that works in church, but the truth is God always right? Is His way always right? Yeah, but see, that I believe that until then you have not been keeping His way. Circumstances do not change the fact that the God of the earth, the judge of all this earth, will do right, because He will. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You know who asked that question? That was Abraham. When he was told that God was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his nephew Lot was in those cities. And Abraham was pleading for Lot and pleading for the souls of his family that God would spare them. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? It's a question in the Bible that is not answered because it doesn't have to be. The answer is God does the right thing. Now that's easy preaching, hard practicing, but I assure you of this, my friends, you will not be able to wait on the Lord if you don't keep His way right in your mind. Do you believe a loving God sends people to hell? Entire religions have been started just to get rid of that one concept. That they said, no way a loving God could send someone to hell. And I've even heard him say it to me before. My God wouldn't do that. My God's too loving to send someone to hell. Yet Jesus preached 14 sermons on life after death, and 13 of them were about hell. 278 verses in the New Testament, 240 of them make reference to hell. And the Bible does teach that at some point, at the great judgment of God for all of the unsaved, there'll be a time when He will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter is, a loving and a holy God, the same God, by the way, does send people to hell. I don't like that. I don't agree with that whatsoever. Doesn't make it any different. Can't change it. I wish I could. You know, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't. There isn't a person on this planet walking this earth, as vile as some people are and as awful as they live their lives, I wouldn't want one person to wind up in hell. And by the way, God doesn't either. The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is not that people wind up going to hell, but people go to hell because they will not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They reject Him, and God gave Christ to give us salvation and eternal life. And God's way is, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's God's way. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, while we're waiting on the Lord on this matters of our lives, and we consider this, we got all these little armchair theologians who think they're smarter than God. They know better than God. He doesn't have a right to do that. Oh, He does. He put breath in our body. He can snuff it out like a flame on the end of a candle. God can do whatever God wants to do because He's a sovereign God. And some of us would be awakened to help us in our lives if we'd realize He has the right to do what He wants with His people. It's really interesting. Everybody wants to give this "we're all God's children" thing until it comes to God's judgment. Oh, we're all the children of God. No, the Bible says we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But that's God's way. I'm just giving you the book this morning. He wrote it. I didn't. That's what He said. I didn't say that. Do you disagree with it? No, sir, because it's God's way. Now, in the matter of salvation, let's get this clear. You come to God through Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior, or you don't come to God. Period. That's God's way. And then when you become a child of God and accepting Christ as your Savior, and God saves you, sometimes the way He takes us just doesn't always make sense, does it? Does it? It's not the way you'd always want things to go, is it? And you know, sometimes He doesn't even give us any reasons. It just happens. But anything that comes to my life while I'm in the will of God is the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't always understand the way of God, but I know this. If I'm going to wait on Him, I have to keep it in my mind. I have to keep it right. He's God. I'm His child. He can do what He wants to. He can take what I can pray and do that. Please do that. Please pray and ask God for what you want and what you need. But always submit it to the will and the way of the Father, because it may not be His desire that you have this, or that you don't have this, or that He doesn't take this from you, or that He doesn't give it to you. That just may be the will of the Father, just the way that it works. It just works better if I wait on Him, and in my mind I keep His way. I guard His way in my mind, that God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. All of His promises are not fulfilled yet, but He'll keep every one of them. Everything that I understand from the Christian life doesn't always make sense to me, but it is, if it's biblical, it's the way it is. It's God's way. Listen, Christian, you cannot wait on God and keep doubting Him all the time. You cannot wait on God and think that you have to, everything has to be explained to you in your life. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work that way. There are some things He just wants us to wait for. Years ago, a preacher I was hearing give an illustration. When he was a young boy, had a little brother. And they lived in West Virginia, out in one of them hollers out in West Virginia. And they lived up in the mountains, and they went into a town to go do some stuff with their little brothers together. And when they went into the town, it was late in the afternoon. He had his little brother tagging along with him, and he didn't want him to go with him. You know, pain in the neck little brothers are. So after they spent a little bit of time in town together, he went to his little brother, he took him to a street corner, and he says, "I want you to stand right here, hold on to that lamppost, and don't you move till I come back." He just didn't want him following him around all day. So he took off and he went to the stores, and he got busy with some things. It was late in the afternoon, and then he remembered, "I got to get home before sundown, home before dark." And without even thinking about his little brother, he took off and headed home. He said, "When I got close to home, it dawned on me I left my brother back in town." And he said, "I turned around, I took off, and I ran back to town. And the sun was down, and it was dark outside." And he said, "I was thinking, oh, my soul, am I in trouble? Somebody probably kidnapped my little brother." But then he said, "If they knew him, he'd give him back anyway." But he said, I gotta go get him." And he says, "And I ran to that little town." It was one of those little West Virginia towns, old towns, where after sundown, everybody closed the doors and went home. And he says, "And I turned to the main street. I looked on that corner where I told my little brother to wait for me." And he said, "He was standing there holding that lamppost, crying." And I ran up to him, and he said, "Where were you?" He said, "Well, why didn't you just go home?" He said, "You told me to wait here till you came back. So this is where I was waiting." There's some things that just don't always make sense, do they? But if I keep His way right in my mind, then I'll stand here and hold the lamppost of His word and I'll just wait. Because His way is right. Whether it's the cemetery, the hospital, the battle, the struggle, the dark midnight, the deepest valley of your life, His way is right. If you keep His way, you can wait on Him. Oh, by the way, to keep His way also means you keep the way God has for you to live. We know that great passage, right? Isaiah 40, 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Can I ask you a question? Why does a waiting soul need strength to fly, to run, or to walk? Because we got this idea that waiting on the Lord is a static thing. It's inactive. You just stand around and wait. That's all you're supposed to do. Hurry up and wait. Remember that in the military, huh? Hurry up and wait. They rush you to some place, you stand around and wait. And you think, well, we could have waited back in the barracks. No. They get you dressed, you march you like a bunch of soldiers. Well, you were soldiers. And they march you like soldiers over to this place, and you'd stand out in front of this place for an hour. And after a while, you learn right away in boot camp, hurry up and wait. And that's what we think waiting on the Lord means. Just stand around and do nothing. No, that's rest in the Lord. Stand still and be quiet. But when it comes to waiting on the Lord, then it means that you do the things God wants you to do with your life. You keep His way. Because, listen, it means if you wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength to mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. But there's no strength for standing or sitting. That's all inactive stuff. You see, we need to understand something. You can't wait on God if you're not going to obey Him. You can't wait on God if you know what He wants you to do with your life and you won't do it. No wonder we fuss while we wait. I'm standing around waiting on God. No, don't stand around waiting on God. Get busy and wait on God. Follow the Bible and wait on God. Obey the Bible and wait on God. Do what you know the will of God is for your life now, and you'll find you can wait on the Lord. It was Eliezer the servant of Abraham, who was sent by Abraham back to the home country to get a bride for his wife, for his son Isaac. And Eliezer makes this journey, almost 600-mile journey. And he makes the journey, and he's thinking to himself, I've got to find the family and the people, and I don't know anybody in this country. I don't even know what I'm going to do. And he gets this long journey completed. He's back in the old home country where he's supposed to find a bride for Isaac. And Eliezer's standing beside the well, and he said, Lord, they use camels for their journeys. He said, Lord, let it be that the first maid who comes out and offers me a drink of water and waters my camels. Now, when camels made months of journey, they could go weeks without water. But when they go to drink it, they're going to drink a lot of water. Let it be the maid who offers me a drink and offers to water the camels. Let her be the one. Rebecca steps up with a pitcher of water on her head, and she says, can I offer you a drink of water? And if you like, I'll water your camels for you. Eliezer stopped and said, phew. Boy, am I lucky. No, that's in the NIV, another idiotic version. Boy, am I lucky. Nope. You know what Eliezer said? I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You wait on God, He'll renew your strength so you can fly if you need to fly, run if you need to run, walk if you need to walk, but you got to keep moving for God. You've got to keep going. Waiting on the Lord is not static, it's active. It's not inactive, it's active. It's not standing around, it's doing what the Bible says you're supposed to do. Some of you dear people, bless your heart, you're waiting on God to do something and He can't get it to you because you won't do what He's told you to do. You still think that you're disobedient, somehow God's going to break through that to do what He wants you to do. No. Keep His way. While I'm waiting on the Lord, I stood still to be quiet. Now, Lord, to give you some. Now you got to do what the Bible says. Yes, sir. And while I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to do what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to honor His word. I'm going to be obedient to what the Bible tells me to do. I'm going to take the word of God and put it into my heart and into my life. Read my Bible and pray and walk with God and go to church and pay my bills and take care of my family and do the things I'm supposed to do. While I do that, I'll find it much easier to wait on God. Because God comes through and He keeps His promises. We were in Bible college. I had a professor talking about when he was in school, living in the dormitories. This young man that lived on their floor in the dorms was one of those very gullible people. I think the guy went into politics, if I remember right. Very gullible person. And that week during their conference they had in their Bible college, there was a lot of preaching on the second coming of Christ. How when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ rise first, we which are alive and remain, boop, we're caught up together to meet the Lord. So all the guys were in the dorms were talking about this second coming and how the Lord will come and what will that be like. And well, they decided to pull a prank on Mr. Gullible. So they sent him out for pizza, and then they made an arrangement. They arranged their dorm floor to make it look like Jesus had come back and taken him out. They put pajamas in a bed, and they had the sleeve hanging out like this. They put clothes in a chair with the pants, the shoes, the socks, the shirt leaning over. Turned on the showers, threw a couple bars of soap in there. Put a pile of clothes in the middle of the floor in the hallway with the shoes, socks, pants, everything just kind of piled up on top. Like the trumpet of God sounded, boom, we all went up. So they waited at the other end of the hallway. This guy comes walking in with the pizzas. And when he did, one of the fellows stuck his trumpet down at the end of the hallway and blasted away. And he walked in, he looked around, he thought, what was that? And then he saw the clothes piled up here. And the shower running with nobody in there. And he went in the rooms and there's pajamas in the bed with the sleeve hanging out. And he got to thinking to himself, oh. So he went in the room and he got his Bible out. Started thumbing through that and he goes, I did that. So he finally just stepped out in the hallway and he went, hey, you forgot me. You know why waiting on the Lord is so hard for some people? You expect God to drop you a heavenly telegram while you sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing the Bible tells you to do. You do it your way instead of His, and you're waiting on God. You're not waiting on God. You want to wait on God? Keep His way. Do what the Bible says. Listen now. Listen, it's very basic, so I'm not sure everything I'm supposed to do. Then do what you know you should. And from there, you'll stay busy enough where God can come through. Waiting on the Lord is not as hard as it sounds if, while I wait, I keep His way right in my mind. While I wait, I keep myself busy doing what His word tells me to do. And you say, well, then that's the last step, Pastor, then I'm done. That one right there will keep you busy till Jesus comes. Because I assure you, you'll be waiting on God a lot in your life. But that's okay, because He's never early and He's never late. He's always right on time in His time frame. We just have to do our part. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.